Hi, it's Mijanu.
Mijanu, Rob. Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good.
Hello, Janet on.
Hi, Janet. How are you?
Hi, Rob. Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. Very good. Okay.
Good.
So, how was your week and what's on your mind?
What a good start for a call. Well, it's been a busy one, that's for sure. I don't know. I don't know what's on my mind. Janet, what's on your mind?
Well, just trying to get super organized lately, trying to keep working at having everyone touched before the end of the year, I think, that we've been focused on RMDs a lot. Fun stuff. This past weekend we had Art Basel, so I think Mijanu and I were both fortunate enough to hit some museums, which was cool. And other than that, just looking to improve and get better and move along with the program.
Okay. Well, good, good. Any progress in the program?
No. No, I think that no, I think it's been kind of a fire drill of, like Janet said, trying to make sure that we're wrapped up for the end of the year. Partially because she's going to be gone for a couple of days before the year ends, and then I'm gone for the first week of the new year. So there is that. And let's see. We've only added, like, two people, I think, to our calendar. And we were going back and forth a little bit about how to handle the calendar. You know, I was trying to convey to Janet that there's no need to download the calendar but once a month, because anything we're putting on this month won't need to be on our Outlook until next month. So we were having some duplicates showing up, and it was making the calendar look a little messy. And then also the fact that getting to understand the fact that when we make changes on the calendar, they should only be made in Outlook so that it doesn't affect the plan. Because if you change it on Excel, then it's, you know, changes when we download the next month, it'll change everything. And there'll be duplicates and it'll be very confusing. So the tracker is Excel, and the actual scheduler is on Outlook. And so anytime we make a move, we have to 30 minutes. Anytime we make a move, we have to just do it on Outlook.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, otherwise it's confusing.
So you have 11 of how many signed up? So you had 9, now you've got 11, is that correct?
Yes. It's exactly correct. That's what I have on my list right in front of me.
Okay. And what's the total?
You know, I thought my total was like, I don't know what my total is. I have to look at it, because I was going over it with Nicholas, and I think that I am totally off, because I have that FAP shared FA number. So I get a little confused about what my numbers actually look like. So if I'm looking at my assets scorecard, and I see my top clients, I'm going there now to see what they look like.
I had you with 70.
Yeah. And I think that that's probably accurate. But again, I have to separate out, and it's hard because I have some joint numbered. I have some joint number stuff that I'm, it's my relationship, Just a couple, though. And then I have, if I were just to look at my my scorecard based on households, it's going to show all of my, all of the assets, all of the households, including my FAP shared assets. So it's been a little bit hard to see. And I don't know why when I was in Nicholas's office that he seemed to be able to get a more solid number.
Yeah.
So if I, now I'm looking at it right now, and anything above, anything that is the 80% rule,
mm-hmm.
it's really only 23. And then the next 15% is another 12, and then the next 7% on gross revenue. And then the next 7% is 13. So 23 is my key numbers. And of those 23, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 7 of them.
Okay, 7 in the program.
Yep. Let me just make sure that page 2. Oh, 9 of 23.
Okay.
Now, and then the other two on my list of 11 are butlers, children of clients, of very good clients.
Okay. So you're doing those 4-1, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, quarterly.
So you need to get to 14 clients. You need to get 14 done.
14 more.
To get to the 80%.
Okay. Yeah. So to get to 80% of my top households?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a quick story. I mean, it doesn't apply to you, don't you worry. But I just had, and I always have, this story. Now, it may not be, you know, it's probably just one person tells me this story during a coaching series, but I always have the story. And the story is, call the client to tell them what we're doing, and they say, oh, that's interesting because I was just about to move my account.
Mm. Yep.
Okay, and if you're really going to do this, then I'll stay with you. But otherwise, I'm moving.
Okay. I hear you loud and clear.
Happens every time. Not with you and not with everybody, but it happens out of, let's say I coach 12 people in a 4-month period, one of them will tell me that story. And I talked to Rob Schaefer, my other coach. He said, oh, yeah, happens every time.
Okay, well, two of these people are my in-laws.
They're the ones you need to worry about the most.
The in-laws.
Just kidding. That was a joke.
I know. I have to worry about them, but in a different sense, right?
Right.
Yeah, so two of these are my in-laws, and one of them is my father of my top But I think it's important. I think the thing that's important with them is that they should be the people who are raving about me the most, and
right.
I'm not finding that.
Okay, so are they signed up for Supernova?
No.
Well, why not?
I don't know, because I'm slack.
I don't. In the Navy, we would simply say, I have no excuse, sir.
Okay. I have no excuse, sir. I've got to teach my son that. I have no excuse. Yes. So I'm looking at my top 23, which makes up more than 50, which makes up 75% of my growth.
Yep.
And three of them are close family members. Two of them are foundations. So those are that's five. And that kind of brings me to my 14, but I've got to do the family members. So no excuse. Yeah. I have to do it stat.
Right, seriously. And you know, my brother, my niece's husband is in the business. And I coached him as a perk to my relationship with my brother. And my brother raves about Supernova every time he talks to me. He loves hearing from Bob. He loves the 12-4-2 calls and the meetings and the rest. He says it's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing that before.
Right.
And he said, now it gives me, and Warren, my brother, is his biggest fan, of course, but he said it gives me more to be able to refer him. You know, it gives me a better story to refer
right.
him.
Right. Right. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So.
Mm-hmm.
So reel in the easy ones. Those, we call that low-hanging fruit.
It's so true. I, you know, maybe that's why, but I'm not going to use it as an excuse at all.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You just assumed you could do those anytime. So
right. Right.
So just make a goal of knocking out five a week. Okay.
Uh huh. Okay. I like that goal.
One a day. Okay. Just one a day. So just
two.
Janet, just make up the folders and then put them on her desk and make her do it.
Okay. Done.
And that way, you know, you got five every week. You got to do them. You're calling them. Boom. Done.
Okay. So I will send Janet the list of names.
Right.
She will make folders.
Up the folders. And then hands them to you five a week, and you just call them that week, and then she's got another five ready for the next week.
That's a good system. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Now, what about these foundations? Because I do a monthly report to them already, and I meet with the finance committees quarterly already.
Do you talk to them monthly?
Yes.
Oh, then that's all you do. Just plug that in.
Okay.
Perfect.
But it should be
scheduled.
So okay.
You can just go ahead and schedule those.
Okay. Okay.
That's better for everybody, right? Because
yep.
They'd love to be scheduled because they don't. Like to be, I mean, you have to schedule them anyway, right? Don't you? Do you make those random phone calls or do you just schedule?
No, I already had everybody in my top tier I had on my monthly call schedule.
Okay.
Did
they know when they were getting called?
No.
Okay, so that's what you knew you were calling them, but they didn't.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, and so you get no credit for that, see?
Yeah.
So this way you're going to get credit for it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, people don't, if you ask a person how often does Mijano call, they'll say, oh, she calls me regularly. I'm not sure exactly, but it's pretty regularly.
So we have to tell them.
You must tell them what you're doing.
Yes, okay.
And then they can repeat it. So treat them like, you know, treat them like a 10-year-old. Not that they are, but people don't listen. And you've got to make it very clear what you're doing.
Yep. Yes, okay. Making notes. Okay. That's good.
Okay.
Yep.
So,
now, as far as, you know, I mean, there are some that I'm actually looking at my list of where I'm going to pull from for my five of the week. But there are some that I really think it's important that it's face-to-face.
Can you do 12 face-to-face? I mean,
yeah. No. I'm saying not every meeting, but just the initial meeting, the initial introduction to Supernova, and they're in New York. So, you know, I have to schedule a trip to do that. So do I just I hear what you're saying about not wanting to wait too long because then you might lose the client. But, like, for instance, I have this one client that we just hosted a table at an event that he was honored at, and he wrote me a letter and, you know, great, thank you support, blah, blah, blah. And when you're in town, I really would like to take you for a thank you cocktail. And then another note because we sent him a Thanksgiving gift. So, I mean, you know, we're tight, but I won't be able to visit with him until at least the end of January. But I can't imagine having that phone conversation. I think it's got to be an in-person conversation with him, as an example. Is that...
So it's okay to leave one off, okay?
Okay, yeah.
But that's no reason to not do the rest.
Yeah.
And right. Just because you're going to do one in New York doesn't mean the others need to be done in New York. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You can send the folder with a nice note ahead of time and say we're going to be, you know, and just send the folder and then have the conversation.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because the folder the folder with a letter is an introduction to what you're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a surprise. It's nice. It's personal. And then you call and you explain it, and they're like, oh, this is great.
Right.
So you don't need to do these in person. You want to make it a big deal, but it doesn't have to be that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And
okay.
It'd be nice to have everybody organized for the new year. I know we don't have enough time for that.
Yeah, it would be.
It would be nice.
It would be nice. Yeah, and I'm looking at my, you know, my first 75%, and I have to split my mother-in-law and her husband in two because they don't like to mingle any of their discussions when it comes to their asset allocation, et cetera. So that's really six people, and that should cover it for the year. So I should be able to get that done easily between now and the end of the year. But
good.
I still think I have to say there are a couple of people here I think I still have done a subpar job of really having them understand what where the changes are. And so I have to work on that with our next meeting. Really clarifying.
So do that. You mean with them? You need to build
right.
a relationship. So you need to go and see them in person and show them
yes.
what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. Though schedule those. It's okay to schedule those 2 weeks in advance. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get things kind of organized and scheduled, knowing when you're going to do what, and you got the five for this week, you got the five for next week, you got the five for the following week. You kind of have it organized. If you need to call them to set up the appointments, great. Do that ahead of time.
Don't take my vacation week away. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for it.
You got to have that. You got to have
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I'm just being your, I'm being your oots, you know. I'm being your.
Good.
The problem, you know.
Good, good, good.
And
by the way, yes, thank you so much for the coaching on how to deal with doing the financial plans for my FAP partner, because we did have a meeting yesterday with the resident Morgan Stanley team person, And it was interesting because I walked into that meeting and his whole thing, his spiel, so to speak, was, well, when, you know, Jeff's ready to retire, you'll be ready to take over, you know. And I said, well, Jeff, when do you think you're going to retire? He said, I don't know, at least 10 years. I said, okay, well, I'll be turning 60, so I don't know if I'm going to be a help when it comes to this, you know, if that's right. What you're thinking about and legacy planning. And Jeff laughed, and he said, that's not what I'm thinking about. You know, he said, I'm not sure what I'm thinking about, but I'm definitely more about what are our options in life and then just having you here to protect my family's benefit from my book should I pass prematurely. So it was a good conversation. I think that, you know, as we both agreed, it's a long-term conversation about, you know, possibilities of the future. But right now we're both growing our books and trying to move that way. And, you know, the team trainer kept talking about me getting paid to do the wealth advisory stuff and financial planning. And I said, I don't want to be in a paid position. I want to be the entrepreneur that I am. And I don't want to be doing jobs where you're going to compensate me and then there's no future in it for me. So the only thing that I'm open to discussing is looking at doing financial plans to bring in business that we would both benefit from.
Bingo.
And they were both, you know, I mean, the team trainer, of course, his charge for Morgan Stanley is create teams, you know. So he's going to stick to that thought. But Jeff and I had a great conversation after he left about, you know, we both really want to grow our businesses. We both are entrepreneurs, and we both have our thoughts of having a team in the future, but it's a long dating process. And so we decided what we're going to do is we're just going to keep an open dialogue on a weekly basis and just keep talking about, you know, what are you doing? What could we do together? What, you know, and just start with that, just dialogue.
Yeah. I would have a meeting about cases, and mm-hmm. they would only be cases where there is net new money for both.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I wouldn't have long-term conversations about things that aren't important.
Right.
Okay. All right. So you meet for 20 minutes about cases that are potentially either new that he needs your help on or existing where there'd be significant net new money for you.
Okay.
Okay. That's
yes.
it.
Yep.
Those are
okay.
the only reasons you meet. You're not there to educate him and train him and
right.
develop a relationship and all that. Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's just about acquisition.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah, that can be, you know, let's build a relationship. Well, I'd love to, but I already have one with my husband, you know.
And those even take work, so yes. I hear you.
It takes more than 20 minutes a week, so.
Right? That's for sure.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was funny because I'm like, how am I going to tell this gentleman that I'm not the junior partner, you know, because so I just figured I'll ask Jeff, when are you going to retire? And I'll go with that because then I can tell them how old I will be when Jeff retires. It's not going to be any great shakes for his clients to be introduced to me, you know.
Even though you look 30, see, so that's the advantage.
Thank you. I needed that today, yes.
That is
yes.
true.
It is true.
When I first started in the business, and that was 20 years ago, so I look a lot younger, my husband would say, why don't you just let your hair go gray? Because then people will think of you as like, you know, and I'm like, are you insane? No, never. That's not happening. I'm like, no, if they can't see that I would be good for them to work with, then sorry, move on. So,
that's great.
So
that's
funny.
Great.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, I don't know where this week went. It's been crazy in a busy in a different kind of way.
So, I'm getting continued rave reviews on the executive summaries and the agendas. So be sure you're doing those on the non-voting.
Yeah, agendas we're fine-tuning. Executive summaries have been very, very good. But we're working on I actually had oh, my goodness, what is his name? Abe, send me what he uses for templates for his agendas that he emails, and they're good. You know, they're quick, easy emails. So I'm going to try that because I have not. I actually in one of my last meetings, I apologized for not sending the agenda a week ahead, so that the person could have prepared what they wanted to discuss, because they were kind of feeling bad that they were flailing and trying to find something to talk to me about. There was something that they were looking up or whatever it was, and I said, you know, I'm sorry. I intend to in the future send you an agenda ahead of time so that you can tell me if there's anything you want to add, and also so that you can be prepared with whatever it is that you want to, you know, be looking at while you're talking to me on the phone. So I have to be better about that.
Yeah. And
writing all this is really good.
Even though it's really, it's a little extra work, it's really going to pay off. People really value those things. It's like a double phone call. You get double credit. Janet, you were saying something?
No, I was just agreeing that I think the executive summaries have been great, and Mijanu's idea of sending the agenda a week ahead is great because, like she said, it gives them a chance to prepare, et cetera, et cetera. I was just kind of reiterating that I think that was a great touch as well.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I mean, your input is valuable because you see clients and hear clients and, you know, you've got a perspective that it's hard to duplicate. Anything from the week homework week eight that you'd like to talk about, or do you want me to tell you what's in week eight?
I got an email from Lori laying out the reassign the next 20% of our clients. Is that what you're referring to for the homework?
All right, we're good. Okay, anything about week eight that you would like to discuss?
Talk about that again, Janet, what you were saying when Rob got dropped.
Yep, I'm seeing the assignments to reassign the next 20% of our clients, which I have the list that we are going to be sending folders to and get them out for the first task. And then next I have the distribute mini-me folders to scheduled clients. So I guess maybe if you could shed some light on that would be helpful, the mini-me folders.
Okay, so are you using those or not? Or, I mean, that's really important. So you have your folder, but are you sending or giving folders to the clients?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So that's all that means.
Sure that was the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, the mini-me, I call them mini-me folders just to be funny and to separate them from the regular folders. Hey, hang on, I'm going to shut the door here. I'm getting interruptions here. So one of the things that is important that I also got some feedback on this. One of the FAs is having terrific success with the enthusiastically endorsed list. And we talked about it, but it's, I think it's more important than even I thought it was. And here's why. He's having particular success with suddenly single people like divorcees and widows that are stuck not knowing a lot about what they're supposed to be doing. You know, everything from, you know, I mean, a lot of, unfortunately, you know, couples don't always share what is happening, especially in finances. And women, in many cases, get stuck having to deal with things that they haven't dealt with before. So that's where you step in. But there's also all kinds of other things that human beings need from time to time. And the question is not just enthusiastically endorsed, but the key word is trusted. Now, you know and I know that everybody you hire isn't necessarily trustworthy, right? So you take your car in, even in a Mercedes dealer, and they say you need a brake job. You don't know that you really need a brake job, right? You got to kind of trust them. So the question is, are they trustworthy? I mean, I did that, and then I went to another guy, and he said, oh, no, your brakes are fine. You can go another, you know, 3,000 miles on these. I'm like, what the hell? Right? And a friend of mine just had a builder. You know, I've got a great builder, and I've referred him to other people. He, you know, he redid our house here, and he was expensive, but he's good, and he's trustworthy. This guy went off island and hired some guy, and he didn't do what he said he was going to do, and he had to sue him, and it's been a total mess, okay? So the question is, if you had the name of a builder that was enthusiastically endorsed and you could trust them. So it's a trusted, enthusiastically endorsed person. Think about what that list would truly be worth, right? I mean,
yeah.
Comments? Yeah.
Yes. Well, I have had great responses to asking for this, the recommendations from my clients for the enthusiastically endorsed people. I have had no actual responses, though. And I guess it's because we're really getting started and I've had very few second meetings. Should I be doing that? You know, should I be asking for that information in the agenda, maybe, or, you know, reminding them in the agenda, or should I be asking them mid-month? I mean, how am I handling
it? Yeah, I mean, it's one of those questions that you can ask anytime to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds crazy, but you can say to somebody, oh, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? I mean, it leads to a very interesting conversation. You could have that with anybody that you meet anytime at a party. I know it sounds kind of weird you'd have that conversation, but you could say, now this is going to sound kind of weird, but I'm just curious. I'm looking for a new CPA. I'm changing, or I'm thinking about changing. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, I don't know. But, I mean, think about if you're going to go, you're taking your children to school, or you're thinking about signing up your children for school, wouldn't you love to know that that teacher is enthusiastically endorsed by all the other parents that went before you?
Right, right.
And that's really important, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, women and men and women and everybody does that anyway. They find out who the good teachers are.
Right.
Can I trust my child with that teacher? Are they really going to care about them? All right. So here's the second part. A lot of people are putting together holiday parties, right? And I endorse it. I think it's great. Recognition, appreciation, holiday parties and things. What if you had a year from now a group of all these enthusiastically endorsed people and you invited them to a holiday party? Now think about it. If a CPA invited you to a party where he had a list of all the enthusiastically endorsed professionals in the community, and you were the one invited, you were the one financial advisor invited, the trusted, enthusiastically endorsed financial advisor, you'd be flattered, right?
Yes.
Think about now, do the opposite, and he's the CPA that's invited. You're not going to let you down, are you?
No.
No. So it changes the game. So you invite the builder, right? You invite the realtor. You invite the commercial realtor. You invite the whatever. You know, it could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They were the cardiologist. He's the most enthusiastically endorsed cardiologist in the community, and you invite him. He may not want to come, but he would be flattered, and he probably would come.
And how are you telling them that they are that person?
You tell them. You have a meeting with them.
Okay.
Say, I've polled my clients and other people in the community, several hundred, and your name comes out on top. I would like to meet.
Okay.
What a network that would be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the key word in this, which I've never used, but I'm just now today actually, using it a few times, is the idea of trusted.
Yes.
It's the single reason people do business with you.
Yes.
If they didn't have that trust, they would not do business with you.
Right.
And if that trust is ever in doubt, you're in trouble. I mean, think about the people that have fallen from grace, right? The people that I had a jeweler who I trusted implicitly and bought a lot of jewelry from. There was a story that I heard that was from a fairly reliable source that said that he was desperate for money and switched stones when somebody was having their jewelry appraised. Exactly. I mean, how easy. You'd never know, right? It's the same size. It's the same. It looks the same clarity. But it's not as good as stone, and he switches them. And you could be screwed, and you'd never know it. The whole thing is trust, right? It's all trust.
Yeah, and as I tell my son, it takes a lifetime to build a good reputation and then about 2 seconds to lose it. So it is definitely important.
So anyway, I think this is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can brainstorm with Janet there and just come up with a list of people that you would actually trust in the community.
Yeah, but you're saying holiday, which I think it's just too close to holiday, but we could do it for something else. I mean,
oh, sure. You could do it for
plenty
any,
of events just, that happen here, like boat shows coming up. We could always have a something around the boat show, you know.
Right. But it's kind of a special. You might want to think about it for next year, because the holidays are kind of a special time to be with family and friends and people you trust, and you know, and that would be that would it's a different thing than a marketing thing around the boat show.
Right.
I think I'd wait.
Excuse me.
I think I'd wait for next year to do it.
Okay.
I'd spend a year building the list.
Okay. All right. So that's a list that we need to start to build. So you, and that also after our last monthly Supernova meeting in Coral Gables, Abe gave us a spreadsheet that he uses for these things, and I'm working on cultivating how I would use it, and this would be a tab on the spreadsheet.
Good.
So that's good. Yeah, I've been using OneNote for tracking, you know, prospects and clients, but I just don't think it's effective. And I think that if I could work on this spreadsheet, I'll have a much better list, or better lists, I should say, of people for things like this.
I think this is right in your. I think this is right in your wheelhouse too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all these people would become clients, and I think they would all become friends, and I think they'd be all become centers of influence for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Great. Yes.
So you know, you could have a landscape architect on there. You could have a concierge, a travel agent. I mean, there's so many interesting people you could put on there that you use in your life that would be incredibly valuable to people. And they may only use them once every 2 years, but you've got them. And it would change because people would retire and die and things like that. But, you know, it needs nurturing, and some people will disappoint you. So that's part of the game, right? I mean, it's unfortunate, but people disappoint you.
Yeah.
But I think it's very – I would find it enlightening that someone had taken the time to do this, and that would make me trust them even more, that they cared enough to do this and then to give me the list.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, it'd be one of the nicest gifts you could give someone.
Sure.
So think about a recently widowed – woman who was referred to you, and you could hand her this list and tell her and go through it with her, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, or about a new executive that's moving into the community, meet with a husband and wife and say, look, I know how hard this is, you know. Mr. Executive's going to be off doing his thing, and here you are in a new community, don't know anybody, and, you know, here's my trusted advisors and friends, their names, their phone numbers, their occupation. Feel free to call any of them and use my name.
That's great. Especially here, I think that this is a very difficult place to find your way around the weirdness.
Well, it's a big city, you know, and the compared to your area is a smaller community, but I mean it's not a small town Midwest kind of thing, you know. It's a pretty big town.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. I mean it gets, you know, people are intimidated by bigger cities, and you know, you can carve out your own little community within that, but it's still very, very intimidating. Okay, I will let you go. Have a wonderful holiday, and
you too. You know,
knock off what you can, and
you too, Rob.
Fun. Yeah, thanks, Janet, and have a wonderful time, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
Okay, looking forward to it.
Okay.
Looking
okay.
forward to it. We'll be working hard in the meantime.
Good.
We will.
All right,
and
enjoy.
Thank you, Rob.
Too. Okay.
Thank
bye,
you. You too. Bye.
Bye.